Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the B-List. I'm here with a return guest, Evan Real. You guys know him from Page Six, senior TV reporter. He also is co-host of Virtual Reality, which is a really fun show. I went to the one here in New York.
Oh my God, yes. When you came, I was so honored and delighted, and I'm glad that you had such a great time. The live show, so since then we've done two more, and we have another one planned actually for September 7th.
In New York?
Yeah, New York. Nice. Chelsea Table and Stage, and it is a New York Fashion Week themed show. So we're bringing out some fashionistas. We have Cynthia Bailey, Sai De Silva, and
I was gonna say Cynthia can't dress, but she's a model.
Hey, exactly.
Can't
exactly.
Dress for shit.
She's a supermodel. So we're gonna have Cynthia and Sai, and then we've also confirmed, and I know you're gonna read me for including her in the Fashionista Club, but
wait,
she has
Giselle.
Giselle adjacent, Ashley Darby, because she and Giselle are releasing an athleisure line together. So fashion industry.
I have so many questions. I have to be at this one, by the way.
Yeah, no, and we have some other guests.
I missed the last one because the last one was Melissa Gorga, right?
The last one was like, yeah, Melissa Gorga and Gertie.
I missed that one.
And Dolores. And then we had a Mother's Day one that was Caroline Manzo and Ramona Singer, which was like so wonderfully chaotic.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one will be a different vibe. So yeah, you got to come. We have some other guests that we're like close to confirming. Mm-hmm. We haven't confirmed just yet, but it should be like a good group of girls.
Maybe get like Brooks Marks in there too or something.
That was an idea that we had.
And he lives in New York.
That actually could be really fun.
Yeah.
For all.
Love Brooks. It's like weird like seeing him like out and about. Like we just like.
Do you run into him?
Yes. Yeah. Like recently, I was like, yeah, New York is so weird. Like people, it's like, yeah, you'll just, especially like people that don't live in New York, sometimes it seems like such a big city, but like you will run into like people in that sphere. And you know what I mean? Which
yeah.
is an interesting story. Well, I'll get to it in a minute, but it's an interesting one. First things first, I have to ask, what do you think about this whole Bethany unionized thing? She's like trying to start a reality television union, right? Like
yeah.
She's now being backed by SAG-AFTRA, right? And then like, it's insane. I don't know.
It is kind of insane.
It's just like, I get what she's trying to do, but I don't know if she's the messenger for it, but.
Yeah, I mean like, I understand the logic of it all. Like I get it. I agree that like our reality TV performers should be getting compensated fairly for opening up their lives and allowing for their, you know, most tragic, troubling moments to be exploited for years to come. Like I 100% agree and understand that situation, but I don't know, like the lawsuit thing, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out because I mm-hmm. don't know if she, like, I'm not a lawyer, but like, I don't know if she necessarily has a case because I don't think that Bravo or NBC has done anything technically illegal. So I feel like
it's like, you know what you're kind of signing up for when you sign that contract. It's literally a show about your life. I don't think you can, and what can you really constitute as like manipulation when it's like, I don't know, right? Yeah,
I think with like Bethany, she has absolutely nothing to lose, but some of these people that she's trying to rope into this movement do have something to lose.
Yeah.
I feel like the lawsuit's going to come and go. Bethany's going to be like, that was fun.
That was fun. Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, all these Bravo celebrities, whether they're currently on shows or not, they're probably going to blacklist themselves in some way. Because even if like.
Yeah, she said that like Paige DeSorbo reached out to her according to she like name dropped people that are currently under contract, which I, but I guess it's not like against, you know, well, maybe, I don't know.
And that's the page of it all is really interesting to me because she's such like a Bravo darling and people love her so much. I mean, I know
is she
call her, well, I know you call her the Bachelor girl, but I
think if like anybody were not able, like if I were in charge of the union, the reality television union, I would be like, I have to decide who can join and who cannot. And Paige DeSorbo has not really put in the time. She's just like, you're just collecting a check, honey. Like you're laying in bed, like.
She's put in the bedtime.
So bedtime, yeah.
An interesting thing about Paige is Page Six just published a new report that I had no part in, but it was about Bethany and this whole situation. And like a source close to Paige pointed out that Paige has untagged herself in all the posts that Bethany tagged her in. And source close to Paige says that Paige hasn't actually talk to Bethany, so it's weird. It's like I don't know what to believe, but I do know I've heard that like Bethany has been like actively reaching out to more and more people every day. She's like really just trying to like get in contact with like it's like everyone,
Lisa Rinna,
the most A-list Bravo celebrities to like the ones you have absolutely forgotten about.
Yeah, like Peggy Saluhian or whatever. Yeah. I'm just making that name up. I don't fucking know.
Peggy's not a name that I've heard, but you know what? I bet you Bethany has reached out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, keep fighting, Bethany. Speaking of fighting, she's like still fighting with Carol Radziwill like years later. They're fighting over like, what was it like?
Michael Cohen.
Yeah, apparently like Michael Cohen. Carol Radziwill saying that like Michael Cohen is the one who sent Bethany the original photo of Tom at the Regency. And I'm like, I can't believe we're relitigating all of this stuff from like 7 or 8 years ago. I don't really care who sent the fucking photo, but they're like going back and forth about it now.
I know, it's so wild. I think that like Bethany was triggered because I don't think she wants to be
associated with
Michael Cohen as she's like fighting her good fight for the reality TV union. So I think that's why she's going so hard against it. But yeah, I'm like, I hear Regency, Carol, Tom, Luann, my eyes glaze over. Give it a rest.
With the Carol of it all, it's interesting. If they would still be friends now, that would make sense because like Carol has so much to say about reality television and the perils of it. And like, you know what I mean? Like she hated her experience apparently, right? She like talks about it really.
Yeah, if there was ever a time for them to sort of rejoin forces, now is the time. But I guess not even Bethany's reality TV union can.
It's unfortunate that all of a sudden, I feel like in the past year, all of these people that kind of like built this entire brand have now turned against it and will never return in any way, shape, or form. Like Bethany, Nene, it's like all of these people are kind of coming out of the woodwork, kind of puts like a sour taste on rewatching those. You know what I mean? Just because like,
Yeah. You like watch it through a different lens because like when you're having so much fun watching Bethany and or Nene be so incredible at their job of being
Nene didn't get paid shit, she said those first couple of seasons, which is fucking nuts to me. I don't know.
So nuts. Yeah, that's so like it, you know, Bethany getting paid $7,500 for her first season. And then did Nene share?
But I guess that's also like just the standard back then too. It's probably like infinitely more when you start as a first season. What was the question? I'm sorry.
Did Nene share what her first season number was? Like, did she say
it was low? I forget the exact number. Don't quote me, but she went on Carlos King's like podcast and was talking about it. I believe it. I mean,
I totally believe it too. I what I've heard in recent years is that the standard first season housewife salary is 60, which
that's nothing before taxes.
Yeah. That's absolutely everything. I feel like the girls probably lose money in the prep for the show.
Yeah.
Wardrobe,
don't start making money until like the third year,
yeah, which is kind of insane,
fucking nuts. Is Kyle a lesbian? What's going on there?
Look, I don't know. I'm like trying to figure out what her game is here because it's just been an interesting ride that she's taken us all on. Although
this music video,
the music, like she looks really good and like.
It's just like so cringy. It's like, I feel like if you wanted rumors to go away, you wouldn't do a full on music video with the person. For those who are not following, I guess, what is her name? Morgan Wade, who's like the rumored lesbian lover of Kyle Richards. I'm so tired. Like, I just, this is the thing I hate about Beverly Hills is we have to hear about it for an entire year and then you have to actually watch it play out. It's just like, so, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I wonder how they're going to address the Morgan of it all on the show, or even if...
Poorly.
They, yeah. I mean,
that's poorly, probably, slowly, you know, and you'll probably do it like the last episode of the season, like 24 episodes in, you'll have to sit through of like, yeah.
I was at an event that Kyle hosted that was filmed for this season where Morgan performed. It was like a mental health charity event that was like honoring Kyle's friend who passed away.
Right, yeah.
Years prior from suicide. And so it's like this very like emotionally charged event. And then but the discussion that night was like Kyle not wearing her ring and the girls sort of attacking her marriage. And Morgan really wasn't a piece of it at that time. Yeah. But what I will say is like the way that she interacted with Morgan that night and the way she introduced Morgan that night, like there's definitely a genuine love that she and Morgan share together. Like, I mean, it could be like the most like loving, intense friendship of all time, but like, yeah, they are like sisters.
Sisters.
Yes. Or yeah, you know, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Judging from the video, I mean, I will say the video is very cringy. I don't know if it's as cringy as Chrishell and G Flip's video. They're like kind of like equally parts cringy to me.
So like I don't really follow Selling Sunset. Is that what it is? Yeah. But yeah, I know of
Well, and Chrishell commented on Kyle's post about the video and said something pretty cheeky, like, music videos are fun, winky face, like sort of implying that this was their like soft launch.
Yeah.
Confirming their relationship. I don't know. But I will say Kyle looked great in the video, even if it was cringy.
Yeah, she looked good. No one's, yeah.
And she's not on Ozempic.
Great. She's not on Ozempic?
That's what she tells us.
She says she doesn't drink. So honestly, not drinking can like do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know, but I've heard.
I've heard. Do wonders.
This Montgomery fight was... Do you know what I'm talking about? The Montgomery Alabama.
Yeah. No. I'm like,
yeah.
I love seeing the different ways it's being recapped on social media. It's really insane, and I love that we are reclaiming that terrible song and setting it to
they tried that in a small town.
Yeah, which like, I forgot.
Virginia's black people are so unserious. I swear, the fact that like people were posting it online with that song is like so fucking trolly and genius.
So genius. I feel like someone needs to like do like a big profile with every person involved in fucking beating the fucking man out of his Crocs.
Yeah, that's fucking nuts. I want to like we need like a where are they now? Like a year from now, it's got to be like a whole thing.
Yeah.
Wow. It felt like Fire Island. There's like what, like five people already charged, all of them I think white, so it's like, you know, justice. Love the justice system.
Love it.
That was actually my first thing on my list this week. Speaking of the justice system, the second thing on my list this week, Tory Guns has been sentenced to 10 years. If you guys haven't been following Canadian Munchkin rapper Tory Lanez was sentenced to 10 years in prison after he was found guilty of shooting Meg Thee Stallion, tormenting her on social media for 2.5 years, lying about her, doing everything under the sun that just like terrible men do. I love it.
I love it.
Put him under the jail. Love it.
Lock him up. Out of sight, out of mind. I love that for Meg Thee Stallion. That is just the best news ever.
Even funnier though was Iggy Azalea writing him a letter of support. Did you read that? Did you see any parts of it? The highlights?
I did, and it was kind of giving Ashley Darby and Monique.
Wait, Ashley. Oh yeah. Except this was like horribly misspelled. I feel like Ashley Darby is a great writer, probably. She uses her words. She's like very. This was written by like a toddler. Like no spell check. She even misspelled saddened. She was like using lowercase I's. I mean, the Australian education system is like down bad. I don't know what's going on over there.
I hate that she is involved in this way. I don't love that.
Checks out though.
It does. It does check out a little bit, kind of, yeah.
She was like lying left and right too. She was like, you know, I'm respected by my peers. I've collaborated with many artists from like Brit to J-Lo. And I'm like, first off, leave Britney out of this.
Please.
Second off, Britney is not your peer. So don't.
That part. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like Lil Mama is your peer. Like Vanilla Ice is your peer. Like, don't do this. You don't want this. I hate
also, like, Pretty Girls.
Yeah.
Into the Britney part of this. It's like the like one of the songs that like as a whole, we in the Britney fandom try to forget. So
yeah, is that like the song that you think like if you could like delete one song from her entire repertoire? Is that the one?
I think
you're a huge Britney fan.
Yes. I think that as I'm wearing a Christina Aguilera shirt right now.
So fucking fake.
Pretty Girls is probably in like if there's like a collection of like five songs, Pretty Girls would definitely be part of that. Another song would be Big Fat Bass featuring Will I Am. Terrible. Actually, kind of anything with Will I Am's pretty bad, including
the newest one. Yeah,
like it's kind of like it's grown on me a little bit, but like I'm sort of like hate listening at like I don't know. It's
I'm not in a place in my life where I have the bandwidth to like expend on like hate listening to Britney Spears songs. I need them to be top notch, good. Yeah. If I had to pick, God, I think it would be Big Fat Bass is like pretty fucking Brave New Girl is also pretty.
Not your favorite?
Not my fave.
It's
that's
a
in
little,
the zone, right?
That's in the zone, yeah. And I like have to be not that I feel like I need to be in like the correct mood for Brave New Girl because it's a little like
you have to
like
be in the that. Zone.
Yeah, right. It's a very specific zone for Brave New Girl. Like the thing that I love about In the Zone is that it's like so like vibey and sexy and like a little like moody in a way. And then Brave New Girl comes and it's like bubblegum and sunshines, and I'm just like, oh, you know, like
Wait, what's your favorite Britney song?
My favorite Britney. That's really tough, but I do have an affinity for In the Zone.
Mm-hmm.
I love Touch of My Hand and Breathe on Me. And I just love anything like
Onyx Tour.
Yeah, it's like very sexy. We got like some like heavy vocal production.
Okay. Kylie. Kylie.
Yeah.
Very Kylie. Kylie. I
Go
think
to the
Anticipating bathroom. Would be in my top. Like,
oh, I love that. Yeah, it's so good. I feel like
that's
that
giving
was
like Janet Jackson all for you. It's very like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's Anticipating is so good and so so underrated.
I want to ask you what's on the top of your list this week.
Okay, so I would say probably at the very top is the up and coming neighborhood of Tribeca. I'm just really into it lately. I can see its potential.
If they
added a few restaurants,
it's
I
a
think
little
it could get there.
Yeah, it's kind of like low lifey, but I kind of like that kind of like raggedy kind of look of it. It just feels very like, you know, mean streets. It's very like kind of like Scorsese's version of New York.
It's very
taxi
much.
Driver.
No, but like seriously, at the top of my list this week has to be Jessel from The Real Housewives of New York City. There was a shift that happened for me in this episode, and it's so
well, this episode actually hasn't, you're maybe referring to, because it hasn't aired yet, this clip that
oh
we're talking
oh
about.
I've seen like
oh you've seen probably
I've seen the screeners for the first six episodes. Okay, so
okay.
The next episode, I believe.
Yeah.
Jessel just really.
By the time this airs, it will have. So this would be
perfect. Oh, perfect. Okay, yeah. So talk freely about it. I love her so much, and I think that like when I really dissected her face in that conversation with Aaron and Tribeca and all
she
that.
She was being totally serious. Like, she's like,
she was being totally serious, but then there was almost like a little smirk. And I was like, wait, does she know what she's doing? Because if she does, I can't, like, I'm obsessed either way. I'm obsessed if she really thought Tribeca was up and coming, but I'm also obsessed if she was just sort of like poking Aaron, the, you know, current queen of Tribeca.
Could be both. I think it could be both. I think that she's an agitator a little bit, but doesn't even realize she's doing it. And I think that she just wants to go back. It felt very like that bridesmaid scene where it's like, sometimes people change. Well, I don't know. I don't think they really change. Well, yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, it was very much that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just like,
she's going to be amazing at a reunion, I think. Like, I think she'll just kind of like.
Yeah, I well, like when she was like sort of complaining about the Christmas tree and negligee, I was like, okay, I don't know if I'm like feeling this, but now that I've seen the Tribeca of it all, I'm sort of looking back on all the previous episodes with like a different mindset, and I'm like, I love everything she does.
It's like, once I explained to people, because like, I think so many people were like, who is this woman? Why is she cast on this show? I get it, because she wasn't featured as much as everybody else's first couple of episodes. Right. But like, the little bit that you do see, you start to pick up a little bit on these kind of like, she's a little Delulu, but that's the whole point. It's like, right.
It's like delicious Delulu. It is.
Yeah. She's so like, good. To me, I actually think that she's giving the most original Roni vibes than any of the women, because she's like talking about what schools her kids are going to get into, they're going to rub shoulders with, and like she's just very like status in New York, and it's just like, so yeah, it's like all the good parts, or not the good parts of Ramona, but like, because there are none, but like the funny parts without the racism, you know what I mean? It's like,
yes, Ramona without the racism. I love that for Jessel. Like, also like demanding her husband like pours her a bottle of, she's like, where's my wine? Like, I just, it's so good. And I think like, when I think about that part, like, I don't think that was put on for the camera. I think she would have like demanded a glass of wine.
Yes.
If Bravo wasn't there.
Yeah, I think she's just like used to being catered to, and that's okay. That's the fucking point. I love it. I think she's honestly a genius, like, casting for the show. I think it's like, because the other women don't know what to do with her. Like, I think that they like probably have met her once before, but they're like, okay, now we're hanging out all the time and you're very different. Like, it's so interesting, because I was like, I posted about her on my story, right? Uh-huh. And I was talking about all that stuff. Did I tell you this? Did we talk about this?
Oh yeah, that she like slid into your DMs, right?
Yeah, she slid into my DMs. Hi, Jessel. And she slid into my DMs, and I was like, we just talked so much, and I was like, this is like fully out of love. I think that you're so iconic already, and da da da. And I was like, just don't listen to the haters. Don't like read the comments, because they're all new wives. You know what I mean? But we were chatting, and then she realized that we have a friend in common, my friend Anthony. Hi, Anthony. And so she was like, we should all get dinner next week. So we're going to dinner.
I love that.
I was
that.
Like, okay, oh, yeah.
I think she's so good.
I'll let you know how it goes. I'm fully just Jessel stan. I'm sorry. Love it.
You know what?
I called it, by the way, before the show even aired.
How did you know?
I said, I'm going to when she vomited at the Rainbow Room. I was like, y'all, and it was in Page Six. How iconic is that? Yeah, shout out Page Six. She was like, her first time mentioned in Page Six, and it's for puking at the Rainbow Room. Fucking iconic. Sign me up. I was like, pre-standing. Sign me pre-activation.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. I thought that sort of looked at that story as like a rite of passage. Like, it's so iconic. Like, how wonderful to be like your sort of like coming out party for the Real Housewives of New York City. You're at the Rainbow Room and you're vomiting at the Rainbow Room, and Page Six is chain link dress. Story about it. Yes, like it's so good. And
the chain mail dress, sorry, chain mail.
Like you kind of mentioned on your story, I think she just really should lean into this.
I think so.
I think she is. I think she is.
She's gonna, yeah. So I'll let you guys know how the dinner goes. Love you, Jessel. If you had to, I mean, like, if you had to pick dinner with like one of the Ronis, who would you?
I would probably, because you're going to dinner with Jessel, you'll let me know how it is. So yeah. I would probably choose Brynn. I'm so obsessed with her. Like, she is just like a bright light and everything about her. I love Brynn. So I would probably choose Brynn. And then if I could bring someone
I would
else,
do Brynn, but then it would be like, I would want to bring her to a place that she'll like, I feel like I would not be too good to eat at Catch. Like, I don't fucking care. Like, we can go to Catch, but she would be like, no, Cipriani's. And I'm like,
well, do you know what's so funny about Brynn is like,
I'll eat it Outback. Like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah. Take me to Outback on 23rd Street. Let's go.
Yeah. I wish we could. It's closed. So
did it close?
That's what my friend said. But then someone slid into my DMs and told me that it's just temporarily closed for renovation. So I don't know what to fucking believe. I don't really want to go to 23rd Street to investigate myself. I need to just send someone over there.
Yeah.
Slide into my DMs, guys, if you guys live near 23rd Street.
Think Jessel's in Chelsea. She could take a little walk over.
I'm going to ask Jessel.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, I guess I would choose Brynn. I also think that, we recently shot a video series with Sai at her house in Brooklyn, and she was so much fun. Loved doing that with her. So Sai, I would get dinner with.
She seems like she has a gorgeous house.
Oh,
it is. Tell us all about that. What do you think of Sai? And is it already up, the feature that you did?
It's there's a little teaser. We did like a little breakout article before the full video comes out, which I think is coming out sometime this week. But it was so much fun. The house is absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
I haven't lived in New York for a little bit.
Looks like it's like 3 or 4 stories, right? It's like a full brownstone.
Yeah, it was like I think it could have been like 5, like including the
iconic
little,
it was
so beautiful, and it was in just the cutest area of Brooklyn, and I feel really terrible because I forget what neighborhood we were in.
I think it's probably Borham Hill. I think it's either like Carroll Gardens or it's around there.
Yes,
because I recognize like the places and I recognize the streets,
and it's like not too far from Barclays, but doesn't
yeah no
like near Barclays.
Yeah, it's so gorgeous over there.
Oh. Yeah, it's so beautiful. The house was stunning. We did some cheese board making in homage to Cheesegate. And yeah, it was a really fun time. She was very hospitable. And what I love about Sai is she's a psycho about taking your shoes off before you enter the house. And
Are you that way?
Really? Will. Yeah, you gotta take them shoes off, honey. Like
like literally every other day.
If you're vacuuming and keeping things clean, then that's okay. But she did, like, I think she mentioned, like, you never know what you're dragging in with these New York City streets, which when I lived in New York, that was like for always my thought. But yeah, we very much aligned there.
She's very serious. Like, I feel like I want her to like loosen up a little bit on the show. I was maybe hoping that we would have gotten there by now, but she seems the most like guarded and like
spending time with her in her home, like, and just with like our tiny little Page Six crew, like I think that's where she'll end up on the next season. Like, I think that she's just sort of like getting her feet wet and figuring out what this is, and I think she'll be able to like loosen up next season when she kind of like has her bearings a little bit more. It was so crazy. I don't know if you listened to, I think she said this on an interview with that David Yontif guy behind the Dollar Housewives podcast, but she was
calling people C words and stuff like that. It was a lot. It was like too much.
But one of the things that she said that I thought was like so interesting was she was approached about doing the show, and it was like between her and Ebony, like during the first
season. It was like the bad season.
I love Ebony K. Williams to death. I think she is such a superstar and just beyond obsessed, but I'm happy for Sai that she sort of had the foresight to turn that down, and then she ended up here.
I don't think she would have survived in that cast.
I think she would have like probably like sat down at the Black Shabbat and been like,
anyone with the right mind would be like, why? And also it was like in New Jersey. It's just like the whole thing was a mess. I don't fucking know.
She'd be like, I'm going to Nobu.
Moving on really quick. The second, or I guess it's like the third thing on my list this week, is I was looking at a post and it was like, Katy Perry is in an argument, like in a legal battle with an 83-year-old veteran. She's trying to stop the sale of his home to Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom. It's like a $14.2 million estate. It sits on 8.9 acres. And I was looking at the photo and I looked up closer, and it's like a picture of the 83-year-old in like, looks like he's in hospice or something. I don't know. But it was like, he's with Cameron Westcott. Apparently it's her dad, or it's her father-in-law. So Cameron Westcott versus Katy Perry. Not a Katy Perry fan, but I stand with Katy Perry on this one. I hate the fucking Westcotts so much. Their little racist tirade, like rants that they were doing like at the tail end of Real Housewives of Dallas against Tiffany Moon. Which, shout out Tiffany Moon.
Oh, love her.
Iconic housewife.
Yes. I posted about it. That Cameron was in the picture when you posted about it. At first I was like, oh my God, not Katy fighting with more old people about real estate. Like, come on. And then I saw your story and I was like, holy fuck, that's Cameron Westcott. So now, like you, I'm team Katy on everything. Give her the house, get him out, get Cameron out. Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
About this, because you kind of, well, you obviously have not forgotten, but I kind of forgot a little bit about the way they ended their Real Housewives of Dallas.
Yeah, it was kind of like guns blazing. I think they knew the show wasn't coming back and they were talking about all kinds of, I don't remember specifically what it was, but I remember it, like that they were saying some really weird shit about Tiffany Moon and just like minorities. And it was just like a lot. I don't know. That's a really like underbelly of like casting a show like this in a place like Dallas. Cause you know, you're going to end up with fucking, it's just like a, yeah.
I was at Jill's.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten into more of it in SLC.
I know, and we've gotten a little taste of it. So
yeah.
Apparently, there were some like girls who were filming for the beginning of season 4, but then like a bunch of like racist,
really, sort
of, like social media stuff came out, and then they were like, "Just kidding," and then they
stopped. Yeah.
So, but now I don't know. What do you think of the Salt Lake City trailer? Are you excited?
Well, I want to get into that on the bonus with you. I want to talk a bit about
that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm saving that for the bonus because it just came out literally yesterday. I want to ask you next, what's on your list?
What's next on my list is I've been rereading Real Housewives memoirs this year.
Okay. And
I'm currently rereading Brandi Glanville's Drinking and Tweeting.
Oh, God.
Rereading her story and sort of reminiscing on her early Housewives days, I just feel like I want to like pick it for her and all the like mean girl behavior that she put up with, because I feel like if we watch those early seasons of Beverly Hills through like a 2023 lens,
yeah,
everyone would be very much like Team Brandy versus like Team Kyle. Like I
think we failed to remember though that I think people at the time were very pro Brandy. Like it just felt like she just made it difficult, right? But people were definitely like fucking
with
Brandy.
Know I from what I remember of the maybe you yeah. were on the right side of history. I feel like what I remember from the time is that people were very much like all about Kyle and like Brandy was like the villain.
Yeah.
And I just looking back on it, and I think that Kyle would not behave that way in 2023, but no. The way she sort of moved with Brandy back in the day in 2010, it was just really kind of like terrible. And I don't know, yeah. I want to do like a Beverly Hills like early seasons like rewatch series where I break down all the terrible things that Brandy the taking of the crutch and hiding the crutch. I don't think that's funny.
I think that Brandy though is like I agree all that stuff is fucking terrible, but I think that Brandy is also a terrible person. Like I think two things can be true at the same time. I think that like I mean, just her behavior on like Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip alone, and just like her level of delusion about like making Russell's death about her somehow when she's talking about it.
I didn't love that.
And I just feel like, I don't know, she's just like so nasty and so rude. I just like.
Yeah, I mean.
She's one of my least favorite housewives, I think.
Really?
Because I feel like it's really like it's always been really put on, and she's just like comes in, throws a glass of wine at someone. It's just like very like you have no genuine relationships with any of these women. People just like cast you because they know that you're gonna like turn up. And it's like I need like to go from, I don't want to go from 1 to 10. I want to see someone build from like 3 to 4 to 5 to like get to that point. I don't like it when someone just goes straight to 10. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little rough ride to get to 10. But the thing that I guess the reasons why, like, I'm sort of in my like pro Brandy Eric, obviously, because I'm like reading the book and stuff. but what I appreciate about her story is that, like, life really took a big fat fucking shit on her.
Yeah.
And she, like, took advantage of the situation and sort of, like, tactfully, like, played with the media to get the attention of the house producers. And so like any girl who like turns like shit into champagne, I'm about that.
Lemonade. What is it? Does Bethany always say something? Doesn't like Bethany have
a lemon?
She always says, she does this every
day. Oh, I think she does like limes to margarita.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, I like that journey. If you rewatch Beverly Hills, let me know. That's one of the series where I can't rewatch. I have like zero interest in rewatching Beverly Hills because it doesn't spark joy in me. It's a very dark early season. So it's not like, it's not a lot of funny times. And also I'm not like a huge LVP fan either. So it's like,
I feel like Beverly Hills is probably your least favorite
franchise. I think so. Yeah, I'm shitting on it. Wow, I'm a hater. But y'all know that. You guys know it. I think, like, I was thinking about it the other day because I was thinking about how good OC is, and we're going to talk about it on the bonus. But I just was like, wow, OC used to be one of my least favorites, and now it's like inching up there. And now it's like Atlanta and Beverly Hills are my like least favorites. They are shit.
And they used to be like the two top girls.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do with Atlanta, but I want to ask your opinions on it in a few. But let's talk a bit about Roni first, because I wanted to talk a bit about what's going on there. And you can kind of tell me, because it sounds like you've been interviewing literally everyone from the, you've interviewed Sai so far. Anyone else, Jenna? Or...
No, actually, just myself, Sai. My co-host, okay. He got Jessel, Bryn, and Aaron in New York.
Okay.
So I want to get Jessel, if you're listening, I want to get Jessel on our podcast just because I think that'd be really fun.
Yes, agree. She seems like very, yeah, we'll get into it. But I can't wait to see Sai at your event.
Yeah, I think she's going to be really fun.
But the show is kind of picking up steam. I don't know. People are still like not fully bought into it. I think like just like on social media, people are kind of having to be talked into watching it. I'm fully sold. Like, I love this fucking show. It's so easy.
It's so easy. I love that we're fighting about like cheese and caviar and
like it's 2023. I don't want to like fight about like, yeah.
I don't want to hear about like a legal case. I don't want to hear about like family drama that's been brewing for a decade plus. Like, I really needed some housewives to fight about cheese and caviar, and the girls came through and they delivered. And just, I think like everyone on the cast is like likable and interesting. They're a beautiful cast. They're a stylish cast. Like, it just like looks nice. Like, it's like a, it's just sort of like eye candy. Like, that's how I feel about the Real Housewives of Miami too. It's like, it's just fun. You know, I mean, I know Hochstein stuff is pretty heavy, but like other than that, like, it's just like a fun watch, where sometimes some of these housewife shows end up feeling a bit like a chore.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to actually ask about that, because you said that you interviewed Gertie at your last virtual reality event, right?
Yeah, what, I talked to Gertie.
Did you talk to her about how this season, because I mean, talking about Miami and used to being or we're used to it being pretty light, but I mean, considering what she's kind of going through in her personal life, if you guys don't know, she was recently I guess like in the past year diagnosed with breast cancer, so she's kind of going through that journey. But I mean, this is the first time I think that, well, we've had housewives with cancer stories, but not really,
I feel like,
I don't think like going through it at the time. I think there's like ones that have like something. I'm wondering how they're going to kind of cover that, and if it's, I don't know.
I think that they're definitely, well, when we had her on the show, it was for Valentine's Day. So it was in February. And I think that she was diagnosed a few weeks after. So our show was very much like, cause at the time the reunion was airing. And so it was very much like fun and shady.
Yeah.
At the time, we were like asking about her sort of beef with Larsa at the time, and she called Larsa the fakest housewife on the show.
Which is interesting, because I feel like she never has any kind of like interactions with her. And then when she does, it seems like, where did that come from?
I think that the way that I sort of interpreted it at the time was because apparently Gertie had become really close with Nicole, and Nicole and Larsa don't get along. And I think that what Gertie was explaining to us is that once she became closer with Nicole, Larsa sort of like backed off and sort of stopped coming around or talking to her. So I felt like she felt like it was kind of like fake behavior. And so we asked the question, inspired by Dr. Nicole's mirror, who is the fakest housewife of them all? And she said Larsa, and then Larsa like fired off on Twitter, clapping back, doing this and that.
Yeah.
Then apparently Bravo reached out to my producers for that footage. So I think
they might be using it in the show.
That happened. I like love they that. Talk about it in the season. But I believe that's like before she was diagnosed. And then I talked to Larsa maybe a month or so back, and she and Gertie are in a good spot. Like, I think that the cancer, they kind of like, you know, brought. Obviously,
the group.
Who fucking cares about?
Yeah.
But so I think it's all good now.
Such a fucking great show.
I love it. Yeah, I can't
We're probably
wait
getting it soon, right?
I think so. I think they always come back around December, so not too far away.
Because we won't have anything to watch soon without the fights. Like, this is all we're going to have with the strike. Oh, my God.
I know.
They've got fucking, like, they have got, like, a Kim Kardashian and Kanye documentary on Max now. And I'm like, this, well, we're down bad. Pay these writers what they're worth so we can get these shows back, because...
I saw that. Yeah, I feel like, I feel like I would watch that if it was, like, an option to watch at the dentist.
Yeah, it would not. Or like, I could not care less about anyone's divorce than Kim and Kanye. Like, are they still divorced? Like, are they even, like, are they still technically married?
No, I think it's, like, finalized now.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, I
literally Nazi. I can't.
I wouldn't choose to watch that.
Yeah.
My own volition.
So we were talking about Roni. It's great. Love it. Loving Jenna more than I ever thought I could. Such an unexpected great housewife. Like, who would have thought? I didn't think she was gonna hit, but like, it hits.
I was like, kind of I was concerned, because like, I feel like just from what I thought of Jenna before she was on the Housewives, like, she was always such a mysterious figure, and I was like, oh my God, like, she's gonna be like so boring on camera. But she's been good. I think that even like,
Jessel's called the girls cackling hags, and then they were explaining it to Uba, right?
But then like, Jenna was the one who shared that information, and then the producer asked her in the chair, like, why did you do that? I don't know.
I can't wait till she...
so fucking relatable, because sometimes I'll just be telling people shit that I have no business telling, and then I think about it, I'm like, why did I do that? I don't know.
Bitch, same. I want to see her season 2. We need her for season 2, because I feel like she's just getting warmed up.
Yeah, and I think she's having fun. I think she's enjoying the process of it, so I hope that she comes
back.
Paycheck
can't hurt.
Yeah, right. Like, I think, I think this is a good place for her. Like, why not? I do wonder, though, like, if they'll try and add anyone next season, or if they'll just keep it the same. I think they're good with who they have.
I think they are, but I think they definitely need a 7th woman. And I would love to see someone who's more like maybe in their late 40s, 50s. Maybe someone that's closer to Jenna's age would be, because it feels very young, which is fine. But it would be nice to kind of balance that out. I feel like Jenna would need someone to play with
a little bit.
Because right now it feels like Jenna's kind of just like a weird ostrich in the corner of the room a little bit, which is fine. It works. But like, I would love to see someone kind of closer to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk about all the other things going on. I mean, Real Housewives of New Jersey's coming back. I also want to just, like, you have to tell me any dirt you have on anything or anyone.
Okay.
Yeah. But let's do that on the bonus. We just talked about Roni. So I want to talk. Oh, wait, real quick. And Just Like That. Are you watching that?
I am not watching that.
Okay, you don't watch that.
I want to be watching that, but yeah, I don't.
Honestly, like, it's like a train wreck, but like, if you're not, like, I have to, because it's almost like jury duty. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm like I'm just doing my civic duty by making sure that they get those views, but
I feel like I keep up with it through like what you post about it.
Yeah.
Like, I get the,
I give like, you the good. Like, I,
yeah.
She's just doing like rich white woman shit, which is like, you know,
what she's always done.
But it's like, that's what I was talking about this week real quick. I was like saying that I think that I realized my issue with the show is that Carrie's just rich now. Like, she doesn't have any stakes, no real storyline. She's just like dating Aiden and being happy. And I'm like, I miss broke Carrie, where she was like struggling, asking Charlotte for cash, had to ask Big for a loan. I just like, that's the Carrie I kind of want back. So we got to figure something out. Maybe it's got to be some kind of like, Erica, like, Jane, find out that her husband was
tax fraud.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Also, like, it's not even a fucking joke. I'm so serious. I hate Shay Diaz with every fucking morsel of my fucking being. I can't do it. Stop putting Shay Diaz on my TV screen. I don't care what you guys have to do. Go to creative writing workshops. Write them out. And even if, like, they're working at a vet clinic now, like, I don't care if you have to write, like, them getting bitten by a rabid dog and then they get sick and die. I don't care. I want them off my show. Like,
if it's getting bitten by Cujo and dying, I'm tuning in.
the unfunniest person you have ever seen written on any show ever. And then it's like not even a joke. And then like they're bad, but then also Anthony the gay. Is it Anthony? The one who was married to Stan. Oh, see, you don't know.
Well, I watched the original like in 2011.
The loud Italian gay. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. So he's still around.
Yeah, I don't like her either. Oh. Write her off too. We gotta figure some shit out. They killed all the wrong people on this show.
Damn.
Wow, not me killing off. I'm no ally. Oh my god, I'm killing off my own community on this.
Like, what are you doing?
There's not gonna be any representation any longer. let's go over to the bonus episode. Can you tell the people where to find your tickets to virtual reality and all of that stuff and how to?
Yeah. So tickets are actually for sale now at ChelseaTables.com. September 7th will be there.
Where is that? It's not the same venue as the
We were at City Winery last time. So I've never actually been to this venue, so it'll be a fun surprise.
I've never heard of it.
But yeah, I think it's in Chelsea.
yeah.
So Jessel, if you're around, come swing by.
I'll bring her. I'm gonna talk to her. That'd be amazing.
I mean, she's a fashion publicist, so maybe she should do the show.
I want to talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey with you. Let's go over to the bonus episode because they just started filming again, and I want to get your thoughts. Guys, go to patreon.com/thebelist to subscribe to the bonus episode. I love you guys, and see you over on the B-side. I love you. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.